Thank you, Joe. So, yeah, we're thinking a little bit about things that we can control and things that we can't control this morning. So I thought we'd start by looking at a couple of things that we can control, that human beings are amazing. We can control all sorts of things. So I thought I'd show you a couple of videos of amazing things that can be controlled, and you need to think, how do human beings control this? Right. So that's not me driving. I can barely park an Aldi, let alone control myself on ice and snow. But who wants to give a guess as to how do human beings control a car on all that ice and snow? Who's put the hand up? Yes. Specially trained, so you need some training, but they've got a steering wheel, and you can see that person seesawing on the steering wheel. And they can control, even in the most slippery situations, some people can control cars in that amazing situation. Aren't human beings amazing? They can control cars. Okay, next one. Amazing, a huge boat like that going through the stormiest of seas, and yet human beings can pilot it, make sure it's going in the right direction so it doesn't capsize. I don't know whether the sailors on that boat really felt they were in control, but how do you control a huge boat like that through stormy seas? Anyone want to give a guess here? Who's got big hands? Yeah.
Specialized training.
More training, excellent. So we need training. What else do we need to control a big boat like that? Yeah.
You need to look
where you're going, definitely. So you need to look where you're going, otherwise you might crash into something. There's someone down here, yeah. Saving that. A steering wheel. You need a steering wheel for a boat, you do. But do you know, right at the end of a boat, there's something, little tiny little thing called a rudder. And that little tiny rudder keeps the boat going in the right direction, even in the most stormiest seas. It's tiny, isn't it? Maybe about 1/100th the size of the whole boat. And yet, that little rudder keeps that boat going in the right direction. Amazing, human beings can control a huge boat like that in the seas. Okay, last one. All right, any horse riders amongst us? Anybody brave on a horse? Oh, it's over here, yes. How do you control a horse? You need a saddle and a reins, and what do the reins connect up to? What do you put in the horse's mouth? A little tiny piece of metal called a bit. So that huge horse, which is much more powerful than you, isn't it? Much more powerful and stronger. Human beings are amazing because they can put a little bit in the mouth of a horse and that horse will go the direction that the human being wants it to go. Human beings are amazing. They can control all sorts of things, can't they? A big boat, a car on ice and snow, and a huge horse. But we'll be finding out later in the service that there's one thing that human beings cannot control. One thing that's more powerful than a big boat, more powerful than a car, even more powerful than a horse. There's a big question mark. What could that thing be? We'll find out later in the service, but I'll give you one clue. It's not one of these. Okay. Thank you, Mariska, very much indeed. You might have a few clues there as to what's in my box over here, because I had a special delivery this morning. Oh, it came a very long way, and it's got a special warning on the front. Can you see that warning sign there? Because in this box is the only thing that human beings can't tame. The only thing that human beings can't tame. I wonder what it is. I wonder what it might be in here. Well, we've got a few things in here. We've got a Chewbacca, but you know, we know Chewbaccas can be maintained, can't they? They can be controlled, so it's not one of them. We've got a tiger. Well, tigers, there are tiger tamers around the world, aren't there? So it's not a tiger. What else have we got in here? Who's this? Anybody recognize this? It's Toothless, but we know that Toothless, he can be tamed because there's a whole program about taming your dragon, isn't there? So Toothless can be tamed. It's not Toothless. We've got a little tail up here. Dinosaurs, I'm sure humans could find a way of taming them if the dinosaurs were around, couldn't they? I'm sure we could find a way of taming a dinosaur, don't you think? Yeah, human beings are really clever. We can find all sorts of ways of taming things. I'll leave him there for now. Now, what's in here then? I'm going to have to get my tongs because this is really, really dangerous. Are you ready for this? This has come from across the world for this morning, and it's really, really dangerous because nobody in this room can tame this thing. Okay, I've got my tongs ready. You ready? Yeah? Oh, I'm not sure whether you're ready. We've got warning signs here that it's really, really dangerous, this thing in here. Okay, let's have a little rummage around. Doesn't want to come out. Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's shaking. Oh, what's that? A tongue. What? Really? Is a tongue really the most dangerous thing, the most uncontrollable thing? That's what James seems to say. Do you see in James 3, he says, no one can tame the tongue. No one can control this. That's what he says. Is that right? The tongue's tiny. Who thinks they can control their tongue? I think most of us think that we can control what we say, can't we? But James says this little thing in our mouths is one thing that we human beings cannot control. That it's a restless evil. That it's full of lies and wickedness. That seems like a strange thing to say when there are so many other dangerous things in the world. James says the tongue is one of those things that human beings can't control. Well, we're going to have a quick go at seeing who can control their tongue the best, because I've got a couple of tongue twisters up here. So why don't you turn to the person next to you, and if you can't read, ask the person next to you to read it for you, and see if you can say this 5 times really quickly to the person next to you. Have a go. Oh, have they? We got it back. All right. Who wants to have a go at telling us how well they can control their tongue? Anybody want to have a go in front of the whole church? Yes, we got one here. Okay.
What are you going to do?
I think it's on, yeah.
Shit.
Oh, excellent. So we have one there. That was amazing. Amazing. Anyone want to go for the second one? This apparently was the toughest one that some university lecturers found. Let's see.
Pad, kid, poured, curd, pulled, cold.
Oh, very good. So that's amazing. You're pretty good at controlling your tongues. But James is making a more serious point, isn't he? He's saying that out of our mouths come good things and bad things. Out of the same mouth, using the same tongue, we say good things to people and bad things to people. Out of the same mouth, we praise God. We've just been talking about praising God, haven't we? And singing, I will use all of my body, all of my actions to praise God. And yet, out of that same mouth, we will say bad things to people. I wonder if you can think of that situation where you come out of church this afternoon and your brother or sister or your friend does something mean to you and your first reaction is to say something mean to them, isn't it? It's to say, you stupid person, or you whatever. The words out of your mouth very quickly become bad. And we say bad things to people. And James is saying that's not a small problem. Our tongues are small, but that's not a small problem. That's a really big problem. It's like the rudder on the boat, or the wheel on that car, or that bit in the horse's mouth. That those words are a big problem. They steer the whole of our bodies. They steer the whole of our relationships with people. If you keep on saying bad things to people, that will completely change your relationship, your friendship with them. So James is saying this is not a small problem, this is actually a big problem. And all the way through the book of James, we've been seeing that, haven't we? That things that we think are quite small, just on the surface, are actually quite serious. They reveal something deep in our hearts. And James is saying, the words that we use, the good ones and the bad ones, reveal what's going on deep in our hearts. And he says, think about a tree. So I'm going to ask you to think about some fruit. I think we've got some fruit at the end. So think about your favorite fruit. This might be easier for some of you than for others. But think about your favorite fruit in all the world. And you're going to take a big bite of that fruit. And you're going to go, because it's lovely, okay? So in three, two, one, you can taste the sweetness and the juiciness of that fruit. That's really lovely, isn't it? That's just great. And now you can imagine going up to a tree, which you think will be full of all that kind of fruit. So if it's a banana, think of a banana tree. If it's a mango, think of a mango tree. If it's an apple, think of an apple tree, yeah? You've got that in your mind? You're thinking about that? And you go up to that tree, and you go to reach a fruit, and it's all rotten and squishy in your hands. Oh, that's disgusting, isn't it? You were looking forward to having a beautiful, juicy fruit, and all you got was something rotten. And James says that's a bit like the way in which we use our mouths. We want to say nice things. We want to be kind to people. We want to say good things to people. We want to be juicy and sweet for people. But we can't control our tongues. And so something rotten comes out. Something awful. And do you remember that verse? No one can tame their tongue. No man can tame their tongue. Tiny little tongue, no one can tame it. So that's the situation we're all in. Mums and dads, boys and girls, everybody here, James says, cannot control their tongue. So what's the solution? James isn't giving us a list of things that we need to do better. He's not saying try harder. He needs to try to use your tongue better. He's not giving us 5 things that we need to do before breakfast every morning. James is saying you need to realize how serious the problem is. How serious the problem is in the way that we use our words. Just because everybody else does it doesn't mean it's not a serious problem for you. Just because you hear it at school doesn't mean it's not a serious problem for you. That if you are a follower of Jesus and you use your words, use your tongue in that way, it's a big, big problem. And so James goes on to say, we need to ask for God's help. We need to ask for God's wisdom. And right at the end, if you want to turn to your Bibles again, right at the end, he gives us the things that God can help us with. Right at the end of chapter 3, verse 17 says this, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. The amazing thing that James promises is that if we ask for God, ask for God's help, ask for God's wisdom, then he gives it to us in Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. And so the words that we use, the tongues that we have, which are very powerful, can be used powerfully by God to bring peace and to bring purity and to bring joy to other people. Isn't that amazing? That God can use our tongues to bring peace. The way in which we use our tongues is a big problem, but God says he can help us with it. Not in some simple way, but if we ask him for his wisdom, then he will give it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you help us day by day that if we trust you, you will be changing our hearts and the way in which we use our mouths, and that we can become more and more the people that you want us to be. So we pray that we will take what we say seriously, that we will understand that it is a problem that we speak bad words and that we speak badly to people, but that we will turn to you, ask for your forgiveness and for your help day by day. Amen.